KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sounds, the Geek Center talk show. And I am Joe, and with me, of course, is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
That's right. Woo-hoo. We're here to rock your Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
And how we like to do that is by giving you tons and tons of useful and fun and exciting news and stories and just...
We entertain the mind.
That's right. General geek debauchery. All around for the next 2 hours till 9 o'clock. Then you get the pre-funk show and you can let your mind relax and absorb all that knowledge that we just gave you. In fact, I guess technically this isn't our 100th episode, but who cares about technicalities?
Right. Yeah.
As far as numbering things, it is our 100th episode.
Woo!
So, all right. I know I'm excited. That sounds like everyone else is too. Hopefully you are excited out there. Speaking of things that may or may not be exciting, let's hit the new releases, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Starting us off in the theaters this Easter weekend is Heaven is for Real, PG. Todd, played by Greg Kinnear, and Sonia, played by Kelly Riley, Burpo's son Colton, played by somebody named Connor Corum, claims to have visited heaven during a near-death experience. Colton recounts the details of his amazing journey with childlike innocence and speaks matter-of-factly about things that happened before his birth, things he couldn't possibly know. Whoa. If you're not in the mood for that, maybe you're in the mood for Transcendence, rated PG-13. Dr. Will Castor, played by Johnny Depp, is the foremost researcher in the field of artificial intelligence, working to create a sentient machine that combines the collective intelligence of everything ever known with the full range of human emotions. His highly controversial experiments have made him famous, but they have also made him the prime target of anti-technology extremists who will do whatever it takes to stop him. Now, maybe you're thinking, hey, those are too deep for me. I just want to sit back and watch some cute things. Well, we got you covered. Bears, rated G, Disney's nature, new true life adventure showcases a year in the life of a bear family as two impressionably young cubs are taught life's most important lessons. If you're familiar with the Chimps movie, imagine that, but replace chimps with bears.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Should be awesome. And maybe you like, I say comedy with an asterisk next to it. A Haunted House 2, rated R. Having exorcised the demons of his ex, Malcolm is starting fresh with his new girlfriend and her two children. I didn't really think it looked funny, but hey,
Some people just do. Alrighty, so if you would like to, if the silver screen isn't drawing you in, maybe this something in this section of DVDs and Blu-rays might catch your eye. Perhaps The Nut Job on Blu-ray and DVD, A Heist of the Furred Kind. As a displaced squirrel adjusts to his new surroundings, he finds the best way to make things work is to knock over Murray's Nut Store.
Dang.
Or perhaps you might be interested in The Invisible Woman on Blu-ray and DVD. No, this is not a spinoff of The Fantastic Four. This is a story of hidden memories and lost love haunt a young woman. This film unravels the knot of her past and finds a relationship with Charles Dickens at its core.
Huh. That'd be a useful power for pulling off a nut job.
Possibly. Yeah. Then there is Philomena on Blu-ray and DVD, a gripping true story of a woman seeking to be reunited with a child that she was forced to give up years ago when she was a pregnant teen. And then there's a strong juxtaposition right along on Blu-ray and DVD. A security guard wants to marry a hardened cop's sister. In order to prove himself, he agrees to do a day-long patrol with his brother-in-law-to-be. And finally, there is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty on Blu-ray and DVD. Walter spends much of his life in daydreams of adventure. When he becomes the center of finding the missing final cover image, his daydreams become reality.
Ooh.
So, that rounds out the DVDs.
All right. Before I get to video games, We've got our first PSA of the night.
Woohoo!
The Museum of American Heritage proudly presents the 10th Annual Vintage Vehicles and Family Festival on May 3rd from 9:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. Over 50 rare vintage vehicles will be on display for the public to enjoy. In addition, the museum grounds will come alive with hands-on science demonstrations, mechano models, and other family-friendly activities. The festival will be located at the Museum of American Heritage on 351 Homer Avenue in downtown Palo Alto, between Waverly and Bryant. The free annual community event is being hosted in collaboration with the City of Palo Alto's 92nd May Feet Parade and Festival.
Nice. That's what you heard it here on 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
Man, I wish
I wasn't sure I could pull that off.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Now I wish I had the clip from The Simpsons where Marge is at the gas station filling up her car, and then Mr. Burns like pulls up in like some like Model T,
He's
all right, woman, fill up with petroleum, blah, 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 post haste. Like,
that would have been perfect.
Speaking of things that are things that play
video games, perhaps?
Yeah, sure, that works.
They're playing with the stuff and the video with the pixels videos across the screen.
Simpsons, they had a game, so yeah, there we go.
They have cut several.
But many would say not all are good.
Yeah,
Okay, so the first thing this week, we've got Trials Fusion.
Fusion!
The Xbox One, the 360, the PS4, and the PC. Trials Fusion melds the classic proven Trials formula of simple yet addictive competition with the social and visual breakthroughs of the next generation of gaming. Yes! For you soccer
Fantastic.
Or football fans, there's 2014 FIFA World Cup Brazil for the PS3 and 360, an all-new feature with 100 new animations.
Goal! I'll stop.
I'm sure that's probably in there. Next we have for the PC, Mobius Empire Rising. Mobius Empire Rising is a contemporary adventure that merges classic point-and-click puzzle solving with Jane Jensen's sophisticated storytelling. And then finally we have Conception 2, Children of the Seven Stars for the 3DS and Vita. Monsters have invaded the world of Atira, and only a few special individuals imbued with the power of the Star God are equipped to fight it.
You need that.
Mm.
You do.
All right, so from video games, we wander over to the Stacks, and that's the comic book Stacks.
The restaurant? Oh.
No. There's a very good restaurant, though, if you're here in the South Bay. Supergirl, number 30s, DC. Now a Red Lantern, Kara has found a foe worthy of her strength. Worldkiller-1. This story is written by Anthony Beard, and has art by Emanuela Lupacino and a few others that are apparently uncredited. Then across town over at Marvel, it's Hulk, number one.
Whoa.
As the events of Indestructible Hulk leave Bruce at death's doorstep, only questions remain. Who shot Bruce Banner? Will Bruce survive? Will Hulk remain? Written by Mark Waid and drawn by Mark Bagley.
Does he wear purple pants?
Still. And how do his pants stay on? Anyways,
But thank God.
Yes. Over from Boom Studios, it's Translucid, number one. The relationship between hero and villain is strained yet intimate. Each knows the other so well, yet each is also a mystery. When the horse begins to question the moral compass of the navigator, he decides to find out what really drives them both. It's written by Claudio Sanchez and Chonda Eckert, and with art by Daniel Bayless.
We apologize in advance.
Yes, for those with names are difficult for the English tongue to pronounce. Over from IDW, we bring you Transformers Windblade 104. As the fallout of Dark Cybertron, a new power is rising. Windblade, who is she, and what does she mean for the future of the Transformers?
Whoa.
Written by Marigad Scott, with art by Sarah Stone. And then over at Image, it's the Mercenary Sea, number 3. The crew of the Venture is sent in to collect a British spy, but they find their way blocked by Captain Tono of the Imperial Japanese Navy. Written by Kel Simons, with art by Matthew Reynolds.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've tried to actually get my feet wet with some of the online comics because I've been ignoring them for too long, and I checked out Dresden Codex. Really good.
Dresden Codex is a very good one.
It has a lot of flavor of Ghost in the Shell in it also.
Mm-hmm. Its update pattern is sporadic, to put it generously.
Yeah, I think it's got like 30 comics made in the last 5 years. So,
mm-hmm. But they're very good.
They are very good.
They're worth looking at.
The newest series is incredibly beautiful.
Mm.
So it sounds like it's a good series for those with a backlog.
Yes.
They're like, yeah. All right, I got plenty of other things to keep me occupied while I wait for... Well, here are some things you don't have to wait for.
Oh.
In the music new releases, here's a handful. We've got a new album, Built on Glass, from Chet Faker. This is the debut full-length release for the Australian producer, songwriter, and singer, Nick Murphy. Then we have The Both, by The Both, the debut release for the collaboration between Amy Mann and Ted Leo, was produced by Paul Bryan. Then we have a new album from the Afghan Whigs, Due to the Beast, the 7th full-length release for the Cincinnati alternative rock band led by Greg Dooley. It's its first album of new material since 1998's 1965.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Wrap your head around that. And then we have Fear and Bliss by Horse Thief, the 2nd full-length release for the Oklahoma indie band led by Cameron Neal, was produced by Tom Monahan. And finally, we have Quack from Duck Sauce, the full-length disco house debut for the collaboration between Armand Van Helden and A-Track. Includes previously released tracks Anyway, with the N and the Y capitalized, Barbara Streisand, and It's You. So
it's you.
It's you. No, it's you.
Oh, it's you.
It's
oh.
You. No, okay. It's you. Oh,
it's definitely not me though.
No, it is you.
Oh, wait.
And I am you, but then if you, I am you, then you, and you are me, then who is you? Exactly.
It's true. And maybe it's you out there in the audience. Anyway, that is just a handful of some of the new releases this week to possibly entertain you this weekend. Mm-hmm. All right. As I mentioned at the sort of top of the hour, this is Robots Attack, Geek Center Talk Show. We're going to take a music break. And we're going to come back with some news. And, of course, later on in the show, we've got Caleb's Corner.
Yes. We're going to be finishing off our selections, our backstories on the Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right.
Finish him.
And then maybe we'll do a quick little geek talk. Not sure yet. We're flying by the seat of our pants. And then, of course, in the core, we're just going to have some random stuff to talk about. So, again...
Playing with a different format a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're putting you on the edge, and you just gotta, you know, handle it as best you can.
We're all in this together. We're riding, going, oh man, oh man.
And it keeps it exciting. Like, man, what are they going to talk about?
Right.
Exactly.
All the twists and turns.
Mm-hmm.
And turny twists.
It's exciting. All right, let's get to that music break. I'm going to play the artist, Sam Saya. This is a single called Stereotype. All right. Listening to KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We'll be right back with more Robots Attack. Radio stream. Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without The Underground Sound.
The News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, the Geek Center talk show here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. As you just heard the bumper, or in case maybe you're just tuning in right at this moment and you missed the bumper, we're in the news. And someone has our first story.
That's right. And I'm going to start out with modular.
Ooh.
Modular.
Yes. If it's like all the rage right now. Like all sorts of companies are toying around with different ideas for designs on stuff. And maybe we'll have a story on that
fact
later tonight. But as kind of a lead-in slash teaser thingy, somebody made a modular jacket. Now, I already own something kind of like this, but this takes it to the next most awesome level.
So is it like convertible pants, but advanced?
Very much so, actually.
Okay.
Like, I have a sweatshirt jacket thing where the sleeves and the hoodie come off.
Right.
And so it just becomes like a vest if you want it to be. Well, this is specifically made for fishing, so probably not as much for me. But still, it's taking that idea to the extreme where you can unzip all manner of different extra little pockets and cubbies in, let's see, four different layers. So it can end up becoming sort of a weird, like, utility tankini if you want it to be.
Interesting.
But it's a really cool idea, and I actually hope that more companies end up using similar ideas for just normal clothing, just because it allows you to swap out any number of different types of pocket styles to fit the types of things that you actually want to carry around, which I know is a huge problem for me. Either pockets are, like, way too small for my entirely way too large cell phone, or... Like
so many cell phones, honestly.
Right. Or they're just, like, so huge and cavernous that you end up jostling your stuff around and cracking things against your enormously big cell phone.
Yeah, you can't find that one thing that you know is in there, and then when you get home and, like, you reach in there just randomly and you find that thing, you're like, I needed you, like, 3 hours ago.
Right. Yeah, and I'm honestly kind of tempted to try and order it. It's called the Fishing Hoodie. It's actually spelled with a PH, which I don't quite know why, because I think it's actually for real fishing instead of, like, PH fishing. But anyway, if you want to look it up, I'm sure you'll find it nice and fast. It has a whole highlight article on Core 77 right now.
And
very cool.
A quick way to find it is, of course, going to our Facebook page where we post all the links to all of our stories, as well as Twitter. Right, Caleb?
That's right. Our Facebook is found by doing a search for Robots Attack, two words. And we are on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me, all one word. You can also hit us up on email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, if you just want all the things and all in one place, robotsattack.me. That's the one place to rule them all when it comes to getting in contact with us. Links and everything. All right, I have our next story.
You mean like the cat links or no?
Not so much like the cat, but
okay.
I see where you're going with that. Actually, it springboards off of the fishing thing pretty well because this is happening in Portland, Oregon. Portland officials are going to be draining a reservoir.
Oh.
38 million gallons of water are going to be discarded. Because they have footage of some teenagers peeing into the reservoir.
Oh, boy.
Now, the to be fair, this is 38 million gallons. So that's
however many ounces this teenager's urinary tract handles.
Yes. So it's I find this particular move a little bit odd. I commend their their quest for excellence and pure drinking water, but at the same time, I think it's a little bit ridiculous myself. However, it is interesting because, like, apparently this reservoir is routinely emptied twice a year for cleaning, and it feeds directly into the water supply for Portland. So I'm sure there's someone is raising questions about it, and that the one of the head people at the
water drinky place.
No, one of the officials.
That's the official name
of the water.
Right on the badge.
The Water Bureau administrator said that he doesn't
too much.
Doesn't like the idea of letting an intentionally contaminated water into the system. And I can sort of see his point, but it seems a little extreme.
Yeah, you don't realize this, but you completely stole one of my stories.
Oh,
did I?
Yeah, and darn. I'm going to hate you forever for it. But I am going to get you back by mentioning this one last little tidbit, is that there's a precedent set for this in this exact same reservoir, is that not so long ago they did the exact same thing because some 22-year-old was out drinking a little bit too much and decided to relieve himself in the same one, and they flushed it that time too.
Mm-hmm.
So
should they hire like some security? Maybe it seems to be.
Apparently, this time it was actually done by the kid doing it through a fence.
Yeah.
So
yeah, this video of the act apparently, and it's interesting that this would be a problem. But apparently, in the article, they also mentioned that they are working on moving all the reservoirs underground to meet with government standards. So this will not be a problem in the future, ideally.
The future! The future!
In our area, we just do it by having collection ponds that naturally sift through the ground, so it kind of takes care of stuff like that. I don't know why that doesn't happen in Portland. Maybe they don't have the same quality of ground as us, but
it's possible. It's hard to say.
So from
the future
and dumping things to the future and not dumping things.
There you go.
So I did a story a while back about Anna Paquin, who plays Rogue in the X-Men Days of Future Past, that her part was essentially cut from the movie, right? Well, that might not be the case anymore.
Oh, what?
Last December, director Bryan Singer himself announced that Rogue had been cut from X-Men Days of Future Past due to her only scene, an elaborate rescue scene that also featured Iceman, Magneto, and Professor X. Mm. Being judged an extraneous embarrassment of riches, quote, during the editing process, however, that no longer appears to be the case. When the eagle-eyed folks at BuzzFeed noticed Paquin's name attached to the final trailer release this week, a 20th Century Fox rep confirmed to the site that Rogue will indeed be appearing in the film, stating, quote, essentially, it's a cameo. Whether this news confirms that the rescue scene is back in the film or they found another way to include Rogue remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, while it sounds like Pac-Man's role won't be too substantial based on that tiny snippet of an answer, X-fans should be relieved to know that one of the first X-Men to appear on the big screen has not been excluded from the jam-packed Days of Future Past reunion.
Do we know if Iceman's going to be in it?
Yeah, Iceman's been featured prominently in the trailers.
Okay, and it's the same actor and the same kid and everything? I guess not a kid
anymore. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, if you were worried, sounds like she's going to be back.
Okay.
Woo!
Well, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Completely unrelated.
no, you must figure out a way.
Completely different.
Right. People have been messing around with trying to figure out the entire idea of making computers out of completely plastic materials for a little while now. It has some problems in that plastic doesn't conduct electricity terrible well.
Not generally.
But the upside is that it allows you to put it into clothing and do a lot of interesting things. So
true, it gives
people
it that
are pushing it forward. And a fair chunk of new technology for video screens is actually kind of the same idea. It's like OLEDs are basically a wash on a plastic, which ends up giving it that type of capability.
Mm.
Well, people have figured out kind of an extension of this, and they've battled a long-standing problem, is that when they make any type of computer like this, they effectively have no way to store information because there's no way to do it without either a chip or magnetic drive of some sort.
Right.
Well, they figured out that they can do magnetic sheets that are seated onto one side of it that can store the information and that for a completely free of charge reaction that doesn't require any extra energy, they can do something akin to the OLED screen printed on top of that, which can convert it into a light stream feed, which is technically faster than a normal electric feed.
Mm-hmm.
So it opens up a whole bunch of interesting possibilities for wearable tech and whatnot. It is kind of a step back because it's going back to magnetic media, which has its own problems.
Yeah.
But there's ways to get around that also. But it's really interesting stuff because you can effectively make a computer that's really specific use, but would be incredibly fast because it doesn't have any of the limitations of normal processing powers.
Hmm. Sounds a little bit like a little bit like some of the stuff they're experimenting with using graphene as the conductor for a processor.
It is pretty similar.
Hmm. Very cool, though. Speaking of things that are very cool and also very centric to our show, I found a robot story for us.
And what?
Yes. And it's a kind of a different sort of robot story. There is no DARPA involved in this. Actually, it is Panasonic.
What?
And it's has to do with the
first... We're sorry, DARPA, first off.
Oh, okay. DARPA's not worried about us.
We've become pals over the years.
DARPA stock plummets.
Right.
What happened?
Yeah. But they're not publicly traded.
That's totally us. That's
totally us. No. This has to do with Panasonic's Resone robotic bed. That is an assistive device that they have pioneered for Japan because it has the unique challenge of having an incredibly rapidly increasing aged population that requires a lot of care. And there's not a lot of people to assist them, not as many. And also, since some of these people require kind of more constant attention and you'd be like moved in and out of bed, that puts a lot of strain on the caregivers and the medical teams. And they've actually had work related injuries as a result of this.
Mm-hmm.
They did make a lifting assistive robot before, but it was more like this is a very bad a comparison, but you'll get the general visual idea. Like it was sort of like a power lifter from Aliens.
Mm.
So it was these two arms that would slide underneath the person to be carried, and then it would lift them and move them into a new position.
It was scary looking.
It was not a simple device.
It was cool tech, though, because it used pneumatic bags, if I remember right, for the actual muscle movement. So
yeah, I think it might have been it. But anyway, this created its own fair share of problems. And so they went back to the drawing board and said, how can we simplify this device and make it more useful? And they made a bed. Half the bed is stationary, like a regular bed.
Okay.
And then the other half is has a motorized robotic chair underneath it. And so all that the person in the bed has to do is slide over a few inches or so, and then they'll be on the bed, on the chair side, and then they, decouples, and then and it will help them assist them in setting up and maintaining balance. And then it's a motorized wheelchair after that. So it's like, it's just a fascinating thing, because Panasonic was kind of talking about how like their efforts are focused on safety, making it workplace safety for everyone, the attendees, the caregivers, and those receiving the care.
Sure.
So I thought that's a really smart idea.
Nice.
They're also working on things like a medicine dispensing robot and a robotic carrying cart that will dispense materials and bedding and stuff like that to do locations where it's needed. It's completely not like this at all, but it sort of made me think of the little robot drone from Flight of the Navigator.
Okay.
But the one that would actually bring him his food and stuff like that he escaped in. It was, anyway, It made me think of the trolley for some reason.
It's pretty good.
Take your medicine now! Get to the chopper!
Yeah, the first thing that popped in my mind when you mentioned that, and it being a Japanese company helped, was there was like an anime movie that was a mechanical bed like coming alive.
Yes, yes, it was by the animation director from Akira. I can't remember what it's called now. Like it's like
Rogen Z or
Rogen Z. Okay. That is it.
Canada, Tetsuo.
Yeah. Something like that. So,
Rogen Z.
I don't know if I pronounced that right. I apologize.
Anime. Right. So does the story have pictures or anything?
Yes, I'll be putting the link in just a sec.
So clearly when you're not driving, you can go and check it out.
Mm-hmm. But of course.
So my next story again involves X-Men Days of Future Past and Spider-Man 2. What? The reason why I chose this one was because it's to almost as a PSA to clear some things up. It's going to disappoint some people, but it's better you know it now than going in and you'll be like, oh, so does that mean this? And then your friend can turn over to you who listened to Robots Attack, but well, no, actually, Joe reported from the IGN article that he read. So here goes. Sony's latest Spidey film opens in international markets, including the UK. A report started coming in this morning, which was a couple of a mid-credit scene, which is from Fox's upcoming X-Men Days of Future Past. The scene in question, it's got Mystique, Havoc, Toad, Stryker, is reportedly not part of Amazing Spider-Man 2 in any sense, and is essentially an ad for X-Men. That is to say, the X-Men scene is just something from Days of Future Past that has been plopped into the credits of Spider-Man 2 and is not the kind of hint or setup for a future adventure that has become standard in Marvel Studios movies. So, just in case, because Spider-Man's coming out pretty soon, I think in like a few weeks.
Right.
When you're watching it and, you know, in the credits and you're like, oh, was X-Men? Wait, is this, oh, is Spidey going to show up?
Interesting play, Sony.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's just an ad for X-Men.
Right.
So I just figured I'd get that out there. So for those
I appreciate it. I'd be confused as all get out. So. Yeah.
Be like, what? Because usually the trailers, the commercials are saved for like before the movie.
Right. Well, you know,
and we've gotten so used to now like comic book movies, like something at the end, like.
Well, all the Marvel ones specifically, I guess.
Yeah. But, so yeah.
Marvel proper, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted to do that little public service announcement for the fans out there who are going to go see Spider-Man and X-Men, and unfortunately they're not teaming up. But here's something that you can team up with. The San Jose Animal Advocates. If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Okay. Well, we go from one company leveraging its brand to a different storyline to another company leveraging its brand across all of its platforms.
Ooh.
Wow. Microsoft, not to be outdone by Sony, ended up creating what seems to be the first ever completely cross-platform for a company release of a game, and they're not doing it with one game, they're doing it with two. They're doing it with Skulls of the Shogun and Halo Spartan Assault. Now, if you've been thinking about trying to grab either one of these games, hold off just a little while longer, because if you do in the near future, it will be unlocked on every Microsoft product that it is accessed by. Wait. So if you have a Windows phone or a PC or an Xbox One, it'll be unlocked on all of those devices.
So it's just going to show up on my Xbox?
Well, basically you just don't have to purchase it. So it ends up
obviously
being,
I assume you have to go in the store and download it.
Right.
It
just, I'm assuming Xbox One might actually grab it for you. I'm not sure completely, but
yeah.
But yeah, it is an interesting thing that nobody, as far as I know, has ever done before. And Microsoft is in a pretty unique place to be able to do this because practically everybody in this country has a PC. And so them being able to leverage games from PC onto their other platforms could potentially sell more of those platforms in the future.
It's true.
Yeah. I know Sony does like cross-play stuff. Like some games, like you'll buy like a PS3 or possibly a PS4 version, like you'll get a copy of it for the Vita. So like that's probably their closest...
Yeah, and I forget which game it was. It was that skateboarding game for PlayStation.
Ollie?
Yeah, they're doing it so if you purchase that one on PlayStation 3, it'll actually transfer as a purchase to PlayStation 4. That's mainly what I was talking about as far as how they're kind of trying to do something in the same vein, but. I was both like really excited by this and kind of crushed at the same time just because I was hoping like crazy that Skulls of the Shogun would show up as an Android type of game. And I figured it would happen eventually, but now that it's effectively like one of the flagship games for this new service,
right.
I basically have to buy a Windows phone in order to have that functionality.
Or play it on your One.
Yes, which it's cool to hear that they're transferring it to the One also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember correctly. Like that was one of the things that makes Skulls of the Shogun interesting is that they're it's using a new kind of universal game engine that can be ported to all the mobile platforms as well as PCs and game consoles too. So there's been a couple initiatives on that subject right now. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I was surprised too that the Halo Spartan Assault was built in a similar way. I mean, it makes sense that they'd make their own in-house stuff built that way, but
still
really cool.
Very cool.
Speaking of things that are cool, we got a tweet.
We did. We got one congratulating us on 100 episodes. And we also We also got one mocking my ability to enunciate correctly. In good fun. Asking if I had said rapidly growing Asian population in Japan. Like, I'm like, I probably could have enunciated that a little bit better. That was a good catch there, though.
Nice catch. The check is in the mail.
Ching. All right, what else we got?
Let's see.
You want me to go? Or
yeah, you can go.
Okay, well, from things possibly spreading everywhere to the Fast and Furious 7 crew filming scenes of Paul Walker's part with Paul Walker's brothers.
I heard about this.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So Universal Studios has given an update on their Fast and Furious 7 production, indicating that two brothers of late actor Paul Walker, Caleb and Cody, will help fill holes in production. On their Fast and Furious 7 Facebook page, Universal announced that Caleb and Cody Walker will help them, quote, complete some remaining action for their brother and fill in small gaps left in production in light of Paul's passing last November. The studio calls the filming with Caleb and Cody an opportunity to, quote, allow the character of Brian O'Connor to live on and let us celebrate Paul in his most defining role. They go on to thank fans of the series for their love and support as they resume production. So
much better than CG. I'm happy about this.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if they're still are going to use some of that. I've seen a picture of the two of them.
Uh-huh.
One guy looks pretty. He looks sort of like a goofier version. Like, no offense to like any of the guys. It's just, it's like
a more fun-loving version.
Yeah, than Paul, and then the other brother doesn't really look like him much. Like,
right.
I'd have to see it again. Like, he definitely has the sort of same hairstyle, and I think maybe the same eyes, if I remember correctly. It's like the picture I saw was the three of them, like in suits. It looks like maybe for someone's wedding or something like that. So yeah, it's like, I wonder if they'll still do a little bit of CG for stuff or I don't know. But yeah, that's cool that they reached out to the family and they want to.
They want them to help them make them finish the movie off well. That's really cool.
Yeah,
definitely. Shall I throw down my finals?
Go for it. Finish us off.
Alrighty. So from Paul Walker to Google Glass. There's no transition there.
they're gonna be like Paul Blungdo, the bird, that mall cop movie.
Paul Blart.
Paul Blart. I think. Right? Something like that.
Yeah. I tried to expunge that from my memory.
Because I think they're making a sequel. So
I would not be surprised.
I heard rumors of that. It makes me afraid. But anyways, if you're familiar with Google Glass, you know that for a while it's been invite only. And that's, you know, kept the user pool pretty small. Well, this past Tuesday, they opened it up to the public. They made a version that available to the public, and they were still $1,500, but they were now available to anybody who wanted to pay for them.
Mm.
And they sold out in a few hours.
Yeah.
So that's which is interesting because it means that there is still excitement for this device, even though no one's quite sure what to do with it just yet.
Well, if nothing else, it's a chunk of like prehistory in a weird sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, things are gonna head that direction eventually. It's just whether this is the technology that'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it'll get it in the hands of people to play around with it, come up with maybe more some things. Cool things for it.
I wouldn't be surprised if a fair number of developers snatched up copies.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they did. And they recently also released a more final version of the developer kit for Google Glass. So there's that, too. So there's that will probably increase some of its prestige a bit as well.
Yeah, one of my friends on Facebook ended up posting something that I thought was pretty hilarious. It was a Google Glass prototyping thing that it was like a laser cut plastic outline of a Google Glass so that it would allow you to do mock-ups of Google Glass operating systems.
Oh, interesting.
Well, it was an April Fool's thing, and so it showed it in use, and it was like somebody wearing the thing and somebody walking up to them and scribbling on it with a Sharpie. Okay. It's like, oh, you're right. That's much better. That really conveys the information. Wow. I thought it was hilarious.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Tune in for more. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Oh, one last bit about before we move on too much. There's rumors that the consumer ready version may drop. Maybe. This is all speculation, but it may show up towards the end of this year. So,
okay, maybe in time for the holiday.
Perhaps. There might be a push for the holiday season, so we'll see.
It's neat that they're doing like the actual glasses frames too.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it on. So
Yeah, they're trying to refit them so that you can put the prescription lenses in them so you won't be wearing glasses on top of glasses.
So. Like you're at a 3D movie or something. Glasses over the glasses with another pair of glasses.
Yeah. Glasses Inception.
Oh, actually, that reminds me of one last thing. I think it was just like a little throwaway thing, but I thought it was pretty good that somebody did like hot dog Inception moment. And what it was a paleo hot dog that it was a hot dog on a bun made of a sliced sausage. Wow. But if you just glance at it, it looked like a normal hot dog. It was kind of genius.
It's like lava.
Well, speaking of things that are genius, we're going to wrap up the news portion of the show.
Right. That was very vaguely news, the last thing I said. But
it was a little fun, little cherry on top of the news portion. Not everyone eats the cherry, but hey, it looks
right.
Nice.
It's right. Good presentation.
Exactly.
Got to keep the maraschino people fed.
So we're going to take another music break. I'm going to play a track from Fantogram called Nothing But Trouble from the album Voices. And then after that, we're going to come back, perhaps, or maybe play another track.
Mm.
But either way, when we come back with more Amazing Robots Attack, it's going to be some Caleb's Corner.
Yes, we'll be rounding out the final character in the core team of Guardians of the Galaxy.
You'll definitely want to stick around for that. And in case someone needs to catch up on all the others, well, how can they do that?
If you need to, if you feel like you're behind, you can go to robotsattack.me. Our archive episodes of our show are there, along with show notes and links to all of the contact things via email, Facebook, or Twitter. So that is the place to go to get in the know about Robots Attack.
All right. You're listening to KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We're going to take that music break and then come back with more Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSCU 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
Hi.
Hey. This is Caleb's Corner. It's a place where I get to spout opinions that are my own. They do not necessarily reflect those of KSCU or our parent, so to speak, our host,
or
university,
our parents.
Santa Clara.
Or university. Our cousins.
Nope. If
definitely not uncles.
No, they're just mine. And if the other fellows would like to chime in and agree, that is up to them. But they start out as mine. But today, since this was
very
more
possessive,
since this one's more about a character, there shouldn't be too much. There shouldn't be anything in here that's bizarre.
Ignore everything he just said.
Yeah,
right.
It's just my typical disclaimer put at the front.
He just likes saying disclaimers. It's a hobby of his.
It's kind of satisfying.
So
today, yes.
Do you feel like a real man? Do you feel powerful?
Yes, I feel powerful. I am me. Blah, 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 blah.
He doesn't have to feel that way. He just is that way.
Oh,
damn!
Bam!
Yeah.
Anyways, so tonight we're finishing off the Guardians of the Galaxy kind of preview, getting all ready.
Primer. Ha ha.
Very good. We've covered all the core characters from the team of Guardians of the Galaxy, but we've been leading up to this last character, and this one is sort of the one that I think will be the strongest forward link from Guardians of the Galaxy into
the Squirrel Girl comics.
No, into
Avengers 3.
Avengers 3, probably. Yeah, with where Thanos finally gets to throw down.
What?
Did you hear that, though?
No.
I believe it's the director said that Guardians of the Galaxy will tie into Avengers 3.
Yeah, ah, right on. So, yeah, see, there you go. I had this idea, and I was correct. Go me.
You and the gun are correct, like sir. This, and I'm crossing my fingers for everybody out there who can't see my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
You are
like
correct,
this.
Sir.
And I'm doing them with both hands, too, so that's like doubly, like...
Doubly, yes, sir. Ha! You are correct.
So I was thinking. Now, this final character of the team is Gomorrah. She'll be played by Zoe Saldana in the feature film. And
she seems familiar. Where is she from?
You may recognize her from such small indie hits as Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness.
Okay.
Playing
Uhura.
She wasn't Spock.
No.
Okay.
Not Spock.
Though she dates
Spock.
Spock. So.
That's where my confusion stems from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Gamora, the history I'll be giving you is more of the comic book history, so they may deviate slightly when the film finally comes out, but it looks like it'll, from what I can tell, they're holding fairly true to most of the comic books in general.
It's where her truth stems from. Yes.
Something like that. she is one of the last of her alien kind. Her homeworld was destroyed by the Badoon, which are a conquering alien race out in the depths of space. Thanos found her and decided to make her into a weapon as well as an adoptive daughter. So it's a very complicated relationship.
Wow. Okay.
He also promised her vengeance upon the Badoon for destroying her homeworld.
Badoon.
When she became an expert fighter and earned herself the title of Deadliest Woman in the Galaxy.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's pretty high up there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people in the galaxy.
There are quite a few.
In theory.
Mm-hmm. While she was on, her and Thanos were on a sort of a visit to a planet, she decided to go off on her own one day and got herself into an altercation with a group of street thugs. And now, despite her fighting prowess, they had sheer numbers, and they eventually overpowered her and beat her quite severely.
That's not good.
No. Ouch. Yeah. Thanos found her and destroyed all of her assailants. Then he healed and rebuilt her, enhancing her with cybernetics.
So right now, Thanos sounds like a pretty good guy.
He sounds not so bad.
He doesn't sound like this crazy bad guy that the universe is making him mm-hmm. out to be.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Universe.
Man.
Yeah. Maybe I should do another one of these in the future and talk about Thanos more in depth, because he's
too bad, actually.
Yeah, maybe as we get closer to the release
mm-hmm.
of the film in August, maybe we'll...
Maybe, yeah.
Or after it, maybe.
Perhaps. We'll figure that out as we get there, but... with all this going on, Thanos also made her to be a living assassin to try and take out a creature called Magus, which is the evil future personification of another Marvel hero known as Adam Warlock.
Okay.
He, when...
Not to be confused with XLR?
No.
Okay.
So yeah, so far there's a lot of checks on the good guy side for Thanos guy right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but after Gamora ended up defeating Magus, that's when Thanos' true colors as an agent of chaos and destruction in the universe began to become more apparent, and that's when she decided to side with Adam Warlock and the other heroes of the Marvel Universe.
Dang, I should have had Cyndi Lauper's true colors.
I was thinking the same thing. Scary.
Mm. Now, her power
that
set...
That song is scary.
I'll have to just take your word on that. As the power set goes, she... I think one of the interesting things about the Guardians of the Galaxy team, like, except for maybe Groot, they really don't have any superpowers.
Okay.
They're all effectively, like, Captain America, top of their game, possibly cybernetically enhanced, but they're all... They're not, like... You know, they don't shoot energy beams or pass through matter or anything like that. So, you know, sure, she is, but she is more resilient and faster and stronger because of cybernetics and because of just, you know, hours of physical training. Okay. And,
is there something special about her hair or no?
Not that I'm aware of.
Her hair has been mentioned.
Uh-oh.
Mm. I don't know. The one thing
and it confused me.
The one thing she does have is a dagger, which has as yet fully undisclosed properties.
Mm.
However, it was the dagger she used to take out the godlike being, which was Magus. So, and it's been rumored that it might be powerful enough to actually take out Thanos should anyone get close enough.
Okay.
So there you go.
Combined with Drax, maybe.
Could
be. Right. So plots are thickening.
Like
a nice oatmeal.
Indeed. Or good ice cream, you know.
Well, yeah.
Yes. Or an oatmeal ice cream.
Yeah.
I'm healthier. Sure
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or if you like thick ketchup or something. Too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. I abhor thin ketchup. There's nothing worse.
So yeah, that's kind of the quick lowdown on Gamora. So they're most dangerous woman in the galaxy, and interesting fact, if you watch the trailer, the most current trailer for the Guardians of the Galaxy, when they highlight each of the characters, you actually can see on the readout some of the cybernetic enhancements that Gamora has.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Or at least the indication that she's not fully flesh and blood anymore.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. A little something to look. Go back. Pull it up on the YouTube. Watch it in high definition. Zoom in. You know.
Yeah. Pause it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Yeah. Well, I've enjoyed these breakdowns of the Guardians of the Galaxy because I didn't really know much about them beforehand. So this would be cool to have little bit of backstory going into the movie. Even like you mentioned, if they change a lot of things, at least you have sort of an essence of the character. I'm sure they'll keep, you know,
some things discard others. Yeah, this is the basic framework of kind of where this character comes from. So
cool. Nice.
There you go.
Want to be a sports commentator, director, graphics, audio, or camera person? Learn that and more in the MC Sports Summer Workshop. Two sessions are offered July 14th to 18th for students going into grades 6 through 8, and July 21st through 25th for students going into grades 9 through 12. Classes are daily from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We do have a limited number of needs-based scholarships available. Space is limited to 12 students per session. For more information, email sports@midpenmedia.org.
Nice. All right. I'm going to take another quick music break. I'm going to play the local artist Puppet Radio. The album is 789. The track is I'll Wait. And then we will be back with the core. We're going to have some random topics. Want to tease the folks? Some of the, give a little taste, a little hint of possibly some things we'll be talking about.
Yeah, the outlook of Americans in the world of tech.
Ooh, 3D printed tumors.
Whoa.
Interesting.
Cool. All right, that and many more when we come back from this music break. All right, you're listening to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We'll be right back.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We're in the core, and I believe Jason has our first topic of the night.
Woo!
Yeah, some statistics came out that were collected by the Pew Research Center, PEW.
Pew.
Yeah, I thought you guys would like that. But yeah, it's all about Americans' views on technology. I don't know why America specifically, but it does kind of bear out one kind of stereotype about Americans is that we are a fairly
paranoid.
Well, I wasn't gonna put it that way, but we're very optimistic about a lot of things, and so one of the first things that it broke down was specific types of technology and whether people think they'll happen anytime soon. And that's kind of a nice starting place because 81% of people surveyed believe that we'll have artificially grown organs within like 50 years, which could be pretty handy.
That sounds very probable, especially with some of the way 3D printing is going.
Right, and a lot of really big advances in actually growing chunks mm-hmm. of whatever.
Yeah.
39%. This one I'm surprised by. 39% believe that within the next 50 years we'll be able to teleport objects or possibly themselves. I think that one's a little bit far off.
But 50 years, like, we've covered this much technology in 20 years. I imagine what the next 50 years will hold.
It's true. But yeah, to me, teleportation has always been like a massive can of worms to open, just because...
Oh, yeah. It's totally a massive problem, but...
Well, I mean, not even if you master the science, it still implies that you're destroying somebody and reassembling somebody who may or may not be the original person on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if it will mean more of like not like non-living things. Like,
I can see that happening faster. But anyway, mm-hmm. we'll move past that for a second. Okay. Only 19% of people believe that any form of weather control will be possible, which is... interesting, considering that we can already seed clouds and whatnot.
Yeah, but the seeding of clouds is still questionable whether how well it works.
Well, it works well. It just has negative impacts on the other people down the line is what it seems like is.
Yeah, fair enough.
But anyway, overall, the impact of technology on society, it's considered to be a fairly positive thing. At 59%... Americans believe that they are optimistic that coming technology will make life better in the future. But here's where it gets kind of interesting to me too, is that you start talking about specific technologies and then they aren't anywhere near as optimistic about them. 66% believe that the ability to change DNA specifically to make smarter, healthier humans, mm-hmm. possibly athletic, will be a change for the worse. 65% believe that lifelike robots is a change for the worse, even if it's for elderly people in poor health. 63% believe that the world will be worse off if commercial drones are allowed to fly in the United States in U.S. airspace.
Huh.
And 53% of Americans think that having any sort of wearable or implantable implants for conveying information like Google Glass
mm-hmm.
is a negative thing. And apparently it's much higher percentage think that it's a negative thing among women specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of interesting. Those are a lot of the really big things that people think about as mm-hmm. being like on the way in the future, if not already here.
Right.
And Americans don't seem to like any of them very much, but the future, really positive about.
Yeah, well, it's I think it's like a lot of like sociological thought is that on the specific level you start seeing like the flaws in a specific thing, but if you give them kind of a grand, like the future is like Star Trek, they're like, yeah, that's awesome. I think that'll happen.
True. Yeah,
but it's like. But first we need to, like, you know...
All those steps in between.
All the steps in between are, like, right. wearable technology that actually can trace you, know what you're doing, and respond to your voice without you needing to do anything. I feel uncomfortable about that. We will now use robots to move things around the world and to conduct, like, air travel and stuff. I don't feel comfortable about that.
Yeah.
Well, it's like... like, the self-driving car, I think, is another example of the next step in technology for a lot of other future applications that people are uncomfortable with. And, you know, like, I saw a story not so long ago about a Google employee who's someone of his neighbors like found out that he works on the self-driving car project and like started picketing his house because he was working on self-driving cars. And like, it's like, wow.
I'm not a fan personally, but I don't see a reason to picket anybody for
it. I'm like, that reaction's rather strong.
Yeah. Hey, let's take away the ability for elderly people who can't drive anymore to get anywhere. Right. That's cool.
Yeah. Right, buddy. And make the road safer for the people who share them with said elderly drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which to me is a big thing, because I've been almost hit by elderly drivers way too many times.
Or even those that are like,
physically handicapped.
Really handicapped, or they're maybe not native English speakers and like, reading the signs, they can't read them as fast, or they're from out of town, they don't know how the freeways work.
Yeah.
Like the patterns, not that they don't know how they work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Each state, they move a little differently and stuff like that. So it's like,
yeah, I think it's like with a lot of tech and a lot of things, there's always that element of fear for mm-hmm. people. It's
right.
like
the uncertainty.
Yeah. It's like for some people, like myself, I'm like, if we want to get to Star Trek or this certain things, like mm-hmm. we got to go through these steps.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely there's going to be some bad stuff that's going to happen. That's just because, hey, it's new.
Yeah.
It's kind of unpredictable. Yeah. Yeah. But the only way we can make it better is like, we got to do it. So
mm-hmm.
It's like figuring out, like, I'm not trying to say just like, just, throw it out there. Just do it, no precaution. No, let's not think about stuff. But I'm against like the fear stopping progression.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I mean, that's just me personally. I'm not,
Yeah.
So,
and it is a difficult challenge, especially when people feel like you're taking something away from them. Like, like the NSA collection information, people feel like you're taking away their ability to control their presence online.
And that probably manipulated the drone stuff a little bit as mm-hmm. far as people's ideas.
Yeah, and also with some of the kerfuffle about the drone strikes that have happened and the fallout from them, like I think that's also been sort of kind of, there's some people that are kind of like sitting that are pulling back away from that just a little bit, because it's like there's a lot of uncertainty about where it'll go. And I think putting guns on robots is probably not a good first step. Let's start with let's start somewhere else.
Delivering the guns,
right?
Because we can build in safe fail safes, but if we've learned anything from technology, it's that there's going to be a way to get around it. So maybe let's make sure we can make it so safe to begin with before we start adding, the accoutrements of war, per se.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of time, though, before those Taco Bell drones that I was talking about before are fully armed and operational. But
fully armed and operational Taco Bell drone.
get a burrito. You get a taco. Quesadilla.
But the other thing that was interesting to me about this entire thing was finding out like where I was sort of the minority or majority on this stuff, because mm-hmm. Everything is about me. But
good baseline to work from,
right? And but like all of these things, except for one, I don't really have huge problems with. I like the idea of drones being used for all sorts of different things. And mm-hmm. like we mentioned, if used in the right way, they're incredibly useful.
Very.
And lifelike robots, I'm all for that. Wearable implants and whatnot, I'd love that. I'd get that right now if I could. But it's funny, the tweaking DNA thing in humans, I don't care about it in plants whatsoever. Like, I think that's a kind of cool thing. Can help, like, creating mm-hmm. crops that can feed people
in the desert.
Whatnot.
Yeah.
But once you do it to a human being, and I don't even care if you do it to, like, a pig or something like that for some reason. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I get a little bit creeped out about tweaking DNA, even if it's for like smarter, healthier, more athletic offspring, because who isn't going to do that if it just becomes like a full-on thing? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just I feel like I'll become inferior like in one generation.
So then we be Gat Khan.
Khan!
Right. Well, it is exactly that, is the thing, too. And we've been warned of the evils of that by Star Trek.
Abramovich Khan.
Right.
Ricardo Montalban Khan.
Hey, either Khan will do for me.
Benedict Cumberbatch Khan.
Personally, I vote Cumberbatch just because he actually shows that he can do things instead of thwart Shatner haymaker. But
that's more the Shatner's inability to fight well.
Well, back then it was like really awesome fighting, I'm sure. But
choreography did take a quite a quantum leap once Bruce Lee started doing more of it. So
right. And until they alter, like they had the Star Trek episodes where they changed them so they have like more realistic planets and everything. Mm-hmm, until they change it so that Shatner's doing like free running moves off of walls and like kicking people and whatnot, I'm probably not going to think of him as some real awesome hand-to-hand combat fighter, even though he's supposed to be. So,
well, he's probably decent for a human, but Khan's not exactly human. He had to kind of send Spock after him to make it a decent fight.
No.
Yeah, you got to work with what you had.
Exactly.
In the 60s when they did
right.
the show.
And fight choreography was still something very new for
low-budget
TV shows at that time.
Right, yeah.
It's like what, the Green Hornet was like the first time that like it really became like a thing to like do like, you know, fast-style combat, and Bruce Lee had to seriously slow down in order to do it because, like, we can't get you on film. There's not enough light and you move too quick.
You're too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of things that are fast,
ooh.
Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio?
No, I fear it.
I want some.
Okay, there you go. Well, you can stream us
fast,
the stream, whenever you want at KSU.org or in the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. So
very cool.
Any final thoughts to wrap up on this topic before we jump to some music?
No, I'm done.
I think we covered it pretty good for the moment. Like, technology is coming. We do our best to work with it as it gets here.
Prepare yourself
for the future. Future is now.
9,000. And if anybody has specific feelings about any of those things, throw them at our Twitter and our Facebook page.
Yes, please do.
We'll link that.
The article.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To both of those. Leave your comments. Let us know what you think. Do you fall into any of those percentages? Did you completely disagree with all of us or some of us or agree with all of us?
Yeah.
Let us know. We definitely want to know what you think of the future. Are you optimistic? Are you fearful?
If you want your children to be con, hey, I fear you. But
con artists?
No.
There you go.
All right. Well, here's a band that, maybe, I'm not sure. There are bears and motorcycles.
Ooh.
But if the bear was riding the motorcycle, it might have to get some cybernetic implants or things. So.
It would help.
Cybernetic thumb at the very least.
And I'm okay with that. Because it's an animal.
I'm not okay with that. There we go. Let us know what you think. All right. We're going to play the track from Bears and Motorcycles called Run Like the Devil from the album Bears and Motorcycles. And then we'll be back with more topics.
Mm-hmm.
Want to tease the folks?
3D printed tumors.
3D printed tumors.
For the love of why?
You'll just have to wait and see. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM. The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We're continuing our random topics in the core, and Caleb has our next topic.
Yeah, as I teased earlier, it's about 3D printed tumors.
Say what?
Yeah. Now, the idea of a 3D printed tumor probably sounds a little odd.
Yes.
Not going to lie.
Yeah.
But the the premise of it actually is, I think, kind of rad, because what it the idea is that by creating a three-dimensional mass as opposed to the typical culture, which is a 2D layer of cancer cells like on the bottom of a petri dish, they can better emulate how the medications will affect a real life tumor. Because like every so often, like, you know, they test them in the lab and they're right and they maybe then they're effective, but then sometimes they get it into the physical body and it's now a 3D mass, and it's like the way the cells contact each other isn't quite the same, and just trying to like better understand how they can deal with an object that is completely different to a 2D model of this of this is fascinating. Cause like it's plus like this idea of 3D printing like organs and materials and objects, like I honestly think the 3D printing is going to kind of get us pretty close to the replicator without in a relatively short amount of time, relatively being in air quotes. You know, within the next 50 years, we may actually start seeing like food coming out of a device like this that isn't going to be complete and total. What did I just eat?
Less than a year ago, I think I'd mentioned they'd figured out how to do that with a beef-like product. So, or they were still calling it beef.
Yeah. Yeah. So the whole thing is it's just fascinating. Like this idea that they're making research materials that are like the human body without having to like infect a human body with this stuff. It's like with this in the future, we could probably make more realistic human like studies of, you know, new chemicals or new processes without having to put a life at risk. And I think that's going to be kind of incredible.
So kind of to tweak it along the lines of the last thing that the story I had, is there a certain line where you'd consider like, okay, this is too far. We've 3D printed too much of the human body, or is it all fair game?
That's a very fair question. And that's where ethics becomes kind of like the weird mystery spot. And that's like, because like cloning is like, if you print enough, 3D print enough of the human body, you effectively are cloning things.
Right.
And yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm sure there probably is a point where it's like, we probably should reconsider how far to continue taking it. But at the same time,
unless I missed it, do they put this tumor into something, or
no? It's like the lab cultures of tumor cells.
Okay.
It's a thing unto itself that they can, you know, with proper machinery, with proper like an environment, will respond as if it is in a human body, but it isn't actually implanted in a person before they start testing it. Yeah. It's
still
it's
creepy to me. I'm waiting for it to turn into some sort of Akira like instance where it suddenly like starts sprouting limbs and growing out of its petri dish or whatnot. Not that I really fear it that much, but that's what goes on in the back of my head when I try and make up sci-fi situations for stuff like this.
Yeah. That makes sense. As it is now, it's still a very small, a relatively small thing. It's about 10 millimeters wide and 2 millimeters high. So it's like, you know,
okay.
It's fairly small. Yeah, you know,
it's like a centimeter by 0.2 centimeters.
Punch.
I try and be as useful as possible on stuff like that.
Mm, yeah, but the way they built it. It's a mix of gelatin, fibrous proteins, and cervical cancer cells, which when they, you know, in this when the emulsion hardens, turns into what very much resembles a cancerous tumor like in the human body. And
okay,
I think this has great potential for the future. Will we reach a point where we've gone too far, that this is too much? Probably at some point we might actually encounter that, but
Could it be used as a weapon?
Yeah, will you be able to make an arm that 3D prints? Like, you can grab somebody and 3D prints a cancer cell into them.
That would take some doing. I think we have to get...
But we're like halfway there, is what you're saying, right?
I think we need to get over to nanomachines that are effective before we get much further on that particular track. Because, like, implanting something that will create a 3D printed something in someone else's... That's still going to be a... I think that's going to be a fair ways off.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Go for it.
Well, free community health and disaster information is available in Santa Clara County by calling 211.
See, so there you go. While we're... Mm-hmm. The future testing tumors, in the present, you can go here.
Yes. Right.
And get help.
And encounter your own testing. Callers receive personalized information about a live or from a live call specialist about needs such as food, shelter, counseling, drug and alcohol intervention, and employment assistance. The service is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in English, Spanish, and over 170, dang, count them, other languages. I didn't even know there were that many. I had a feeling there were quite a few, but I didn't know for sure. But still, 211 is a non-emergency confidential phone service operated by United Way Silicon Valley and supported by local cities and the county of Santa Clara. And thank you to the person who typed this up who taught me how to pronounce specialist and confidential.
Mm.
Yes.
Hey, we're on the air because we care.
Very cool.
So I'm going to go into mine next one because I don't think it'll take terribly long, so don't really need a music break. I'm sure the audience out there is ready to absorb some somewhat useless knowledge, but
let us decide that.
So I saw this story about Snoop Dogg offering his voice into Call of Duty Ghosts.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
So next week, they're coming out with another like pack of customization options. In that is usually they have camo for the weapons and stuff like that. And what they've been doing lately is introducing like legend characters. So they're like characters from previous Call of Duty games that you can get a skin and a special camo, that sort of thing.
Cool, cool.
Well, they're introducing next week voice packs. So you can change the announcer into said person's voice pack. So originally they just talked about Snoop Dogg having a voice pack and, you know, announcing all the things. If you can remember back in Black Ops 1, Ice Cube did some announcements on some things. So they mentioned that there's another voice pack that they're doing. It's
Please Yoda, please Yoda.
No, it's like L. Lee Henry, something like that. Basically, he's like the drill sergeant that everyone knows from Full Metal Jacket.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I can't actually repeat a lot of his dialogue because it's not safe for radio.
Oh, right.
But he's like, whenever you think of a drill sergeant, it's this guy pops into my that
did
voice.
Did Mailbag like, also for like History Channel.
Yeah. So he has a very distinctive voice, recognizable voice.
Also was the voice of the green soldiers in Toy Story.
Right, right.
That is correct. So yeah, he is also doing a voice pack for the game
as
well.
That's cool.
So, that is going to be awesome.
Yeah. So what I wanted to kind of get your opinions on were... Is this kind of thing a good idea for a game, or is it... Because I looked at some of the comments, and before they had mentioned the other guy, it was just Snoop Dogg, and a lot of people were like, either, for one, they don't like ghosts, and it's easy to rag on Call of Duty because it's the big thing. So, you know, it's like, I hate it.
But, counterculture, you know, and people, whatnot.
Yeah, it's an easy target.
I knew it before it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is like, Snoop Dogg, that's just dumb. Like,
mm-hmm.
So is something like this, like, is it a good idea for a game, or is it just adding to that mentality of like, wow, they're just grabbing for things, or it's just bloating something, or I just kind of wanted to get your...
I think it's kind of equal parts. I can understand how it would add a lot of value to people who are huge Snoop Dogg, or is he still going by Snoop, or is it...
in the article, yeah, it's Snoop Dogg, but okay. I thought he changed it to Snoop Lion, but... Yeah.
Maybe it's just for his music persona and not necessarily... anyway.
That could be it.
But... Any chance that the game companies have to add extra value to their game, I can understand, and I actually kind of encourage. But I can understand it getting to a point where it would be so distracting, too. But I think they're doing it in a smart way because it's a very personal choice at this point. Mm-hmm. If it ends up being... to the point where your options end up kind of inflicted on anybody else that you're playing with, I think it could end up being a bigger deal, which I realize I'm like all over the place on this, just because like in the Black Ops game, I'm a huge fan of being able to customize your own emblem, throw it on there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like artistic pollution a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it's there, and I'm glad that they try and police it.
Yeah.
But I can imagine if somebody made their own character, for instance, Snoop Dogg, I would get really tired of seeing Snoop, like, running around the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's cool as something that you can do for your own stuff.
'Cause something else to sort of throw in with this as well is there was a lot of, at least from... comments and some of the podcasts I listened to, there was a lot of negative feedback when they had Linkin Park tied with Project Spark.
Right, right.
Yeah. It was like, I hate Linkin Park, or that's just stupid. I'm not really interested in Project Spark.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to kind of tie in with this, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort of the brave new world of digital media. It's like, since so much of it is user generated, and also integrating it with other types of media to make, you know, kind of dual branded stuff is kind of like the way a lot of advertising and stuff is going. It's like that's effectively what product placement is in movies and stuff like that. Honestly, I think if it's handled well, even if you're not a huge fan of X or Y element,
yeah,
it's,
or Pokemon altogether.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
The
just derailed Caleb.
No, but
you wanted to move on to red or blue, or
nah, it's fine. The
I'm sorry.
No, but like the. You know, they're all trying to figure out how to keep themselves relevant as the landscape of social interactions online and with gaming changes. Like, the gaming culture has adjusted a lot over the years. Like, it used to be, you know, 10 to 15 year olds. Now the average age of a gamer is 35
to
40.
10 to 15 year olds.
But 20 years later.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, we've, you know, tastes have changed, the way it, bringing in new players has changed. Like, it used to be predominantly a masculine thing. Now there's a lot of girls that have grown up with games, and they're now a large part of gaming culture. And, you know,
thank goodness.
Yes, it's a good thing. But it is because of these changes. Are trying to figure out. It's a lot of people trying to figure out what to do. And honestly, I think this is pretty smart, because if it is like very individual, like you put it on your machine,
yeah,
you're the only one hearing it, unless you turn on your Kinect to be super sensitive and people are hearing it in the background. Yeah. But they've gotten a lot smarter about that on the new one, thank goodness. But it's, I think, because like to me, I I see it as sort of like getting additional voices for your TomTom GPS device.
Yeah. It's like, which is why my mind jumped to Yoda like right away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think as long as they keep it like true to the spirit of what they're doing, I don't see any problem with them having a little fun while doing it. Because like I'm sure the people that are working on it are like, dude, we're going to get this guy to be the voice actor for all these segments of the game. That's going to be awesome.
Mm.
So, you know. Yeah.
Well, and this isn't the first time that Snoop Dogg has managed to get into a completely unrelated game, too. The last Tekken Tag actually had Snoop Dogg as a downloadable map. He was part of the DLC. You'd be able to, if you pre-ordered the game, you got his new song that was literally a Tekken song.
Nice.
I liked it. I'm not a huge Snoop fan or anything, but I thought it was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
And of course they had like his level. It had like bouncing lowriders and of course, bikini girls all around him and whatnot. It was very Snoop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it fit in that game too, because there's so much of that kind of over the top excess of style.
Yeah.
In certain maps and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I mean I wish I could have like the opposite, you know, so I could sort of argue, but yeah, I agree. I think it's a cool thing. I think it's a good thing because you know, I'm not a huge Snoop fan either, but the fact that they're doing some different things, yeah, and it you know, it's just, it's on yours, so it's not like forced on you. You're not like, you have to buy this in order to get this.
Right.
So, I mean, if they did Arnold Schwarzenegger, I would buy that voice pack in a heartbeat.
I hadn't even, yeah, that would be really cool.
But yeah, and then like the Project Spark with Linkin Park, it's like, if you're not a fan of Linkin Park, like, to me, it's still a cool idea because it might get that out to more people, and it might help just the game itself, just like...
And also, if nothing else, it works as a good tech demo for what can be done using the system.
Yeah.
Whether you're a fan of whatever it is or not is mildly irrelevant to the fact that it's doing what it does, it's trying to do what it does really well.
Yeah, and I like that they're adding, like, in the latest map pack, like, now, before they had Michael Myers, now it's the Predator. So it's like, I like these crazy changes that they're doing to a game that has been around for a while. It's like, people are asking for different things, so they're trying little tweaks here and there, see what people like. It's so...
Yeah.
Yeah, and as since it's also downloadable, it's optional whether you get it all or not. I mean, if you get the season pass, you're going to get it, but you know, you can opt out of those maps and stuff like that where that happens. So
yeah, but yeah, all around I see it, as long as, I think we mentioned, as long as it's not something that's forced on you, like you have to get this in order to progress,
right?
I think doing these kinds of things, people seem to like customization, they seem to want it more and more in the games that they play, so why not stuff like this? Like, why?
Yeah, it's actually one of the things that's I enjoyed about like Brink and games and some of, and even some, and like Black Ops, where you actually have more control over how your soldier appears on the battlefield. That was kind of a nice change of pace, because then it's like, oh, I actually recognize that dude. That's the one I got. I saw him running across. Like, he's been dogging me this whole map. I'm gonna go get him individually. It's like, you can start like the personality of the players is now kind of starting to infuse the games more, which makes them a little bit more interesting because they're more personal at that point.
I agree. And I think on that note, we're going to wrap it up for tonight. I think we had some interesting discussions. Hopefully you out there felt they were just as interesting as well. And definitely, if you have any comments you want to make on any of the topics we talked about throughout the entire night, Caleb, how can they do that?
Well, you can find us on Facebook, do a search for Robots Attack, two words, or you can leave a comment on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me, all one word. Or you can get us on email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you just want one place to go, one place to find it, one place to interact with it all, it's...
And one place to bind it.
Yes. Robotsattack.me. That's got archive episodes of our show, as well as links to all of our social things, and there's a contact page with an email form if you want to email us through there.
All right, sounds good. All right, everybody, have a great Easter weekend, whether you celebrate
going
it or not.
Going East it up.
Yeah.
Enjoy the chocolate bunnies at any rate.
At any rate. That sounds pretty good. All right, we're out of here. Everyone have a great evening. We'll see you next Thursday, 7 to 9, here on KCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
Raccoon, Veronica, Nicto.